The following program is sponsored by Senior Class Media. Welcome to Senior Class on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. You've graduated from the workforce and made it to retirement.
So go to the head of the class.
Senior Class Radio is your source for senior citizen-related topics, information, and entertainment. Now, it's time for Senior Class on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG.
And good Sunday morning, everyone. Welcome to Senior Class. My name is Russell Mills. It is our mission here at Senior Class to discuss all the aspects of life and living in our golden years, or living with folks who are in their golden years. Your host for Senior Class is Mr. Rusty McMurray. And this week, Rusty wants to talk about medical cannabis. And man, that's been a topic in Oklahoma. Good morning, Rusty.
Good morning, Senior Class. It really has. Not only have we caught attention on a local level, we've caught attention kind of on a national level. Here in Oklahoma recently, I don't know if you've heard the news, we have passed legislation for medical marijuana here in the state, and it's been kind of a rocky road in its first rollout. So what we've done today is we want to give a disclaimer. These are going to be our personal opinions, not of Senior Class or any of our sponsors. We've barricaded the door. We have a full hour to take your calls, take your text about your thoughts, your opinions, not only on the rollout, but should we have medical marijuana, its place, its purpose, and we want to hear from you. Before we get started on our topic, Russell, what do folks need to do if they want to participate in today's show?
Absolutely, and we'd love to have you call us. The number is 918-460-KRMG. That's 918-460-5764. If you're just too shy to be on the radio, we get it, but you may still have a question or something you want to say, well, text us. And you can text your comments to 95920. Rusty?
All right. So I had the opportunity, knowing we were going to do this show, to spend the last couple of evenings doing a few hours worth of research, not only on what's been happening here in Oklahoma, but nationally. As you know, I work with the geriatric population, and I work with chronically ill geriatrics through Sunshine Care Partners. That means these people suffer from chronic illness. They'll never get better. Most all of them are in pain to a certain level all the time, and it's tough. It's difficult. A lot of them are on hospice. They graduate from our service to hospice. So believe it or not, I've seen the benefits of medical marijuana, you know, in an edible form for those terminally ill cancer patients. It has been illegal for quite some time here in Oklahoma, but as you know, things do happen. So I have seen some of the benefits of some of those for those hospice patients. So on the medical side, we have a huge problem here in the state and across the country with the opioid crisis.
Opioid crisis is killing.
It really is.
Tens
so
of
what,
thousands
what,
of people.
It really is. And what I want to try to make clear today is that it's going to all revolve around money. You know, meaning the pharmaceutical companies have been the ones really blocking medical marijuana for the last two or three decades, and they've done it for the purpose of selling those opioids. You know, they were the next step. They realize they're addictive. They've gotten them down to pennies per pill, and 18 to 20,000 people each and every year die from opioid overdose. I don't know if you were familiar with that.
I am. I've been following this story for some time. I've talked at length with our Attorney General, Mike Hunter, who's passionate about doing that. And I don't, you're probably aware, has brought a federal lawsuit, a civil rights lawsuit, I think. Anyway, a federal lawsuit against these pharmaceutical companies, against seven of
really?
Them. And actually, Oklahoma's lawsuit is further along in court than any other state in the union. So, no, it's a huge problem here in Oklahoma. It's a huge problem across the country, but Oklahoma, it's particularly acute. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say, well, the pharmaceutical companies have blocked it so they could have opioids. But have the pharmaceutical companies lobbied against medical marijuana? Oh, you betcha. Why? Because you can't patent it. Right? You can't patent this thing and then ramp up the price and tell people, oh, you have to pay the freight or you don't get this medicine.
So these pharmaceutical companies have strong political lobbies. So they've classified marijuana as a Schedule I narcotic.
That was done by the federal government.
It was done, and that's where the lobbying normally takes place, is in Washington, D.C., where those rules are made. So that being said, I kind of did some research on what Schedule I narcotics or Schedule I class drugs are, that definition, and it's normally highly addictive, deadly. That means if you take too much of it, you can actually die. And none of those are actually marijuana. You know, so I wondered to begin with how that got classified as a Schedule One, and then number two, how it actually continues to remain there. So let's talk a little bit more about what's happened here in the state. If you're unaware kind of the licensing, when and if it does take place in a couple of weeks, it'll be $2,500 for the application fee. And that does not guarantee that you will get a license. You go through a plethora of forms, but there are really four different categories. There's a grower, then there's the processor, and then there's the dispensaries, and then there's going to be a delivery license, kind of all packaged into one. And I don't know really who put this together, this Oklahoma law, but looking at the different states that have rolled out medical marijuana, it most closely resembles California's medical marijuana laws. And we all know that that was just a guise for recreational marijuana in the state of California. And I personally don't want to see recreational marijuana here in the state of Oklahoma. I'll let the other states deal with that.
Honestly, you know,
what are your
since
thoughts?
We're doing opinions, recreational marijuana is here. It's not legal, but I'm here to tell you, marijuana is ubiquitous, easily obtained, inexpensive, and being sold without the benefit of taxation or regulation. And I'm not sure that's all good either. I think we do have a phone call. You want to go ahead and get to our first call? David, thanks for calling Senior Class this morning. What's your comment or question, sir?
Well, I've a couple of things. Just as an offhand phrase, if I was like an American Indian, looking at the idea that I would have to pay $2,500 to grow a plant, I would laugh that government out of existence. But apparently people are taking it seriously. And I think maybe this is the time for Oklahoma to get up on their hind legs and laugh this joke of a government out of existence. The if you're familiar with how it was made illegal back in the 1920s, the famous publisher, William Randolph Hearst, he caused the Spanish-American War to happen, mm-hmm. and as a favor, they gave him huge forests in Mexico, the Philippines, former Spanish countries. And so he didn't know what to do with all this lumber, and he figured out that if he made it into paper, he could make some money on it. And hemp was his competition. So he came up with this racist phrase, marijuana, and basically created a war on hemp. And if the average farmer in America had realized they were trying to outlaw hemp, they would have laughed him out of existence. Because, you know, in 1776, hemp was one-third of the American economy.
I believe it was the first cash crop grown in North America. And
could have been, sure.
And, it's and it also comes down to money. The tobacco, the paper, the pharmaceuticals, it all comes down to money, that it's not easily controlled, it's not easily regulated, and that's why it's been basically stamped illegal. And that's my opinion. Obviously, it sounds like it's our caller's opinion as well. Yeah. So what do you think about medical? You had mentioned the American Indians. Are you of American Indian heritage?
No. I'm a couple of versions of Romeo and Juliet, British Isles, but but still in all, just the basis of believing that somebody could outlaw a plant, that goes against almost every religion, that you could outlaw one of God's creatures or plants. I mean, that's just preposterous.
And there is a large proponent, a large group of people who say this is a creation of the Lord, mm-hmm. and because
he gives us everything on the earth.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Biblical passage, and I forget exactly, and I don't want to paraphrase.
I thought about that in the drive-in, but I shouldn't. I was not going to search the Bible as I was driving in the
Well,
rain,
that's probably wise. But David, I think you
bring
up some interesting points.
The herbs and the plants therein, I think that's a phrase.
Shall be the food, shall be your food, or something.
Exactly.
Sure, yeah.
Thank you so much for your call. We do appreciate your input. You're listening to Senior Class Radio. I'm your host, Rusty McMurray. We have Russell Mills live in the studio today, and we're talking about the new Oklahoma law relating to medical marijuana. We think that there's a vote on either side. I believe fully in medical marijuana. That's so funny I said that. Freudian. My wife said that I was going to say that during the show, and she's probably at home laughing. Well, my point is there's medical and there's recreational. Right. We've approved medical. We need to make sure that it's rolled out properly, and we want to hear from you. Russell, what do folks need to do if they want to weigh in, yay or nay, on medical, and if we're taking the correct steps as a state to get there?
Absolutely. Please give us a call, 918-460-KRMG. That's 460-5764. Or you can text us at 95920. We're going to talk a little bit about what's Schedule 1 and what's Schedule 2 narcotics. I think some of this is going to shock you. Senior Class will be right back. On a cloudy day. Well, welcome back to Senior Class here on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. I'm Russell Mills. Coming up here in about 8 minutes, your top stories at the KRMG 24-hour Fox News Center and your forecast from Fox 23. We'll find out just how long this rain's going to last. Stay tuned. Coming up next hour, it's Living Well with Dr. Booz. Questions? You can text us at 95920, or you can give us a call at 918-460-KRMG. That's 460-5764. Would love to hear from you. We did have a couple of texts. Our host, of course, Mr. Rusty McMurray.
Good morning, Senior Class. Thanks for tuning in today. We're talking about medical cannabis, medical marijuana. Call in, text in. We've barricaded the door. We have the studios. We're giving our personal opinions on whether it's right, wrong, and we want to hear from you. So give us a call. Give us a text. It looks like we're about 50-50, Russell, on the text in. 50% say yes to both medical and recreational, and 50% for medical, yes, medical.
And we haven't had any
at all.
To medical.
And at all. Well, I'll tell you this. You know what? If I've buried a lot of my good friends due to alcoholism, and it's heart-wrenching. And I honestly believe if they had used cannabis instead of alcohol, they probably would be alive today.
Well, we do know for sure that there is never a documented case of a human being dying from an overdose of tetrahydrocannabinol, which is the active psychoactive ingredient in marijuana.
Yeah, but well,
it simply has never been documented.
That is true. That is true. So we are going to talk about why there is not more clinical research done on cannabis. And this is really important for everyone to understand, because most of the research that's out there that's done today is privately funded.
Or
it's done in other countries. So here's why it's so difficult and why universities aren't researching here in the United States. Guess who controls the licenses to do research on cannabis? Not the FDA, Food and Drug Administration, the DEA. The DEA controls licenses for research on cannabis throughout the United States.
The Drug Enforcement Administration.
Because it's federally illegal. That's what we have to comprehend. But within, I would say, 12 to 18 months, I think that's going to change.
Well, our president has hinted that it's something that he will consider. But let's just look at how the drugs are scheduled. The Schedule 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right, from the Food and Drug Administration. Schedule 1 drugs are defined as drugs that basically have no medical value and a high potential for abuse and are dangerous. Schedule 1 drugs include heroin, LSD, ecstasy, methaqualone, peyote, and cannabis. Okay, Schedule 2.
Wait, yeah, let's listen. I want to hear the Schedule 2. This is the stuff that they think is less dangerous.
Less dangerous and can be studied and is even used in some prescriptions, okay? Methamphetamine.
That's the meth that we hear about that's a crisis.
Cocaine.
Okay.
Fentanyl, dexedrine, Adderall, Ritalin, oxycodone, opium.
All those things that you have to get a prescription extracts from your doctor for.
The opioid crisis that's killing tens of thousands of Americans. Those are Schedule 2 drugs.
And see,
cannabis is Schedule 1.
I think it's political. It revolves around money. But what I want to have everyone understand here is that there is a difference between recreational and medical. Medical, because of the federal restrictions, hasn't really to date been fully researched. Here in the state, pending legislation, there is a research license. They haven't and don't plan on granting any, which you can understand. I have several friends of mine that own pharmacies throughout the state. They aren't going to touch it because of the DEA. you know,
they could lose their license.
They could lose their license and their livelihood.
Which was one of the ironies of the State Board of Health passing a rule that said a pharmacist had to be in control of these dispensaries, when pharmacists are literally barred by law from dispensing marijuana at the cost of their license. It was an attempt to completely gut the law.
Well, and looking up, I'm taking some texts here, is can smoking lung cancer cause lung cancer? So I think they meant to say, well, you're basically giving a carcinogen to someone to deliver a drug. So it's basically like a doctor saying, here, take some drain cleaner along with this antibiotic and it'll make you feel better. So you're not going to give and write a prescription for something that's detrimental to your health just to help provide relief or pain relief. But that's why I wanted to – why I think that the compounding and creams and tablets – versus smoking is where we need to go.
Vaping. Exactly. There's a lot of delivery mechanisms. Although I will tell you that medical cannabis patients that I have spoken to say the swiftest, most effective method of pain relief or for nausea or some other symptoms is smoking. So mm-hmm. You know they're gonna have to balance that risk. But why not leave that up to the patient? I mean, that's kind of their decision.
Well, here's my thing is that I think that when this rule was written, this is personal opinion here in the state of Oklahoma, is really written disguised or recreational law disguised as medical. So it overwhelmingly passed.
The law that was passed here?
Here in Oklahoma. So because it so similarly matches the laws in California, which really were a way to deliver pot to everyone's house and not get arrested for it. So it lowered their crime rate. They were able to put a few $1 billion in their pockets to help with their debt. And I just hope we don't go down that same path. I think we took some correct steps in the dispensaries needing to have a pharmacist there. I think it was heavy-handed the way it was done. But if you're going to deliver a medicine or a pharmaceutical, you need to have medical staff involved, not some guy that owns a vape shop that's going to set up and be delivering what's considered a pharmaceutical drug that's written by prescription from a doctor. That's my only point. If it's going to be medical, let's make it medical. Let's make it not a carcinogen in its delivery method. But because we've not had the proper research through universities and clinical studies, because it's illegal at a federal level, we're stuck in a moot point. States have issued laws to help get themselves out of debt. It's worked in some cases. It hasn't worked in others. We need to make sure in the state of Oklahoma we do this right, because we are under the national spotlight. We're one of the most conservative states, and we've approved medical marijuana. The steps that we take now could be the steps the rest and the remainder of the country take as legalization becomes a reality at a federal level.
It certainly is a possibility. I'm going to argue again that as far as recreational marijuana, it's here. And if you think it isn't, you're just ignoring the facts.
Well, it's been here since the 60s. You know, I mean, I know people, but it's called legal. What are you going to do in life that's legal? So not everyone can afford to go to jail each and every day just for recreation.
And I don't understand why it's illegal and alcohol isn't. It just makes no sense to me personally. We do have another texter who says, how many of the drugs you get with the prescription of the pharmacy have we had to vote on? Well, that's a really good question.
Oh, my gosh, that is a great question.
Can't
I don't ever remember that.
One, but see, those are regulated, again, by the Food and Drug Administration that goes through these rigorous trials, and it takes years to develop a new drug, to test it, and then to get it on the market. And that does not happen with cannabis. Why? Because, once again, it's a Schedule I narcotic, according to the federal government, cannot be studied, and the FDA has nothing to do with it.
Well, what I'm most scared about as a business owner and an employer is simply this. Well, how do I know that they don't have a prescription for medical marijuana and they're getting high every day before they come to work? That is my greatest fear. And I'm sure it's the fear of a lot of individuals out there. And because we can't ask health questions in an interview when we hire people, you could accidentally hire a whole bunch of people and come to work one day and you walk in and everybody in the room stoned because they got their prescription. That's the greatest fear of an employer is, hey, is it going to be easy? Is it going to be for those geriatric, chronically ill hospice patients? Or is it going to be for the guy that has some pain in his knee that needs a script so he can get high every day? That's my problem with recreational marijuana. Russell?
All right. Well, we've got to take a time out. We want to hear from you. 918-460-KRMG. 918-460-5764. Text us at 95920. The topic is medical cannabis. You are listening to Senior Class on News 102.3 KRMG.
Like that sunshine on a cloudy day.
Welcome back to Senior Class here on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. My name's Russell Mills. If you have any questions for us today, remember you can text us at 95920. Or you can give us a call at 918-460-KRMG. That's 918-460-5764. Our topic today is medical cannabis. Your host for Senior Class is Mr. Rusty McMurray.
Good morning, Senior Class. Thanks for waking up with us today. Can't help but pick up the evening newspaper and see a headline about medical marijuana and some of the new laws that are changing and being rolled out here in the state of Oklahoma. We're talking about it today. Whether you're for or against it, you need to be informed. So you have something to talk about with your friends around the water cooler, right, Russell?
Absolutely. And this has certainly been a hot topic of conversation in Oklahoma. And by the way, we're not the first ones to tackle this. We are the 30th state to make medical cannabis in some way, shape, or form legal and accessible to the folks who want it and in some cases need it.
There are five states, and we are the sixth, that will be utilizing medical marijuana to fight the opioid crisis here in the state. It's really amazing the number of people that are addicted to those horrible pills. And I mean, sometimes you can go and have a root canal and the doctor gives you 4 or 5 days worth of painkillers, and by the end you're addicted. I mean, the painkillers are so addictive that it's almost dangerous.
Well, no, it is dangerous. We're seeing tens of thousands of Americans die. It's the worst drug crisis in the history of our country. And a lot of it has to do, and I've spoken at length with a lot of doctors, is that opioids are a great short-term, immediate pain relief. But for chronic pain, for anything less, any length of time, opioids are not the right solution, and they've learned that to their great dismay.
They really aren't. And if you look, as I said earlier, through Sunshine Care Partners, we deal with chronically ill elderly. And if you've ever had a chronic pain, let's say you have a bad shoulder, you have chronic arthritis, over time, it changes your personality, changes your mood, changes your diet, changes the way you interact with other people. Because can you imagine, as an individual just listening today, taking a hammer and hitting your thumb repeatedly to the point of pain 24 hours a day, all day long? Sooner or later, you're going to break. And these individuals that utilize opioid-based solutions become addicted, and they have a plethora of side effects, including constipation for those individuals. So can you imagine not only suffering from chronic pain, but chronic constipation on top of it? I mean, goodness gracious, these poor elderly individuals need a solution. So we hope to be one of those other five states that are using medical marijuana to fight the opioid crisis at a geriatric level. That's the type of thing that I want to see researched and done. And we had a caller that had a comment, and our producer saw a show similar to the Super Size Me on McDonald's, but it was related to cannabis.
Right. So Erica Kay is our producer.
Hello.
Welcome, Erica. And you were telling us about this Super High Me.
Yeah, that's what it's called. It's a documentary play off of Super Size Me, where the guy ate all the McDonald's for 30 days.
So this guy ate pot for 30 days.
He smoked pot.
Okay.
Like, he had it in different ways and smoked it different ways. And
uh-huh.
He would go to different tests. One of the tests that improved with cannabis use was his memory function. Like, he was kind of able to predict what they were going to show him, which I found really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But another thing that a doctor tested him on was his lung capacity. And it proved that even after chronic marijuana smoking,
right,
there was no permanent damage to his lungs.
Man, I just can't see that. I mean, if you talk to a fireman, I mean, they damage their lungs permanently by fighting fires if they aren't wearing apparatus. There's no way you can put any type of smoke in your lungs without doing damage.
Well, that's not necessarily true. How? I mean, you could do some damage, but...
Permanent. She said permanent damage.
Right, but when you are breathing in the chemicals of the furniture and the rugs and everything that's inside a house that's burning, it's the chemicals...
That makes sense.
That are doing the damage and that can kill you really fast, and that kills a lot of people. Most people in house fires die from smoke inhalation, not from fire. And it's all the chemicals and stuff that are burning, all the plastics. And with cigarettes, look, people are going to smoke 20 cigarettes a day, generally speaking, a pack a day on average.
That's true.
You're not going to smoke 20 joints a day.
You don't? You did, is it like basically the equivalent of one cigarette or something, in a day?
Yeah. I mean, I would say maybe a couple.
All right. So we have, the text lines are blowing up today. So I want to read a couple. We have a caller that said, I've smoked pot for 20 years and was high every day at work, no matter the job, from sales, construction, foundation repair. I produced more and made more money than anyone else. So... as an employer, Jeff called in earlier and he said, if you have somebody that's high, even on a prescription, and they wreck your company car, the company's liable. So see the quagmire we're in now is that it's going to be very difficult with improper leadership at a state level to make this be anything more than a complete cluster. Russell, read a couple more of these.
Okay, well, this one oral cannabis dosage. In other words, edible marijuana.
Yes.
Or edible cannabis. Said lasts 4 to 6 hours. And the other thing about edibles that a lot of physicians I've talked to like is that you are controlling the dosage. Whereas with smoking, it's a lot more hit or miss about how much THC or CBD you're getting. With the edibles, they can control that much more carefully. Says if the edibles hit you hard, you will ride the effects out versus smokable intensity only. I think what they're saying is if you smoke it and it hits you super hard, some folks will get dizzy. If they get too much THC too fast.
I always remember the Robin Williams comic skit about people getting high and all they do is sit on the couch and eat Doritos. That's all I can remember. We're talking about medical cannabis, the rollout here in the state of Oklahoma, what to expect, some of the things that our legislators are worried about to hope to get correct. But we want to hear from you. Are you up? Are you down for medical cannabis? Do you think that smoking pot is good? How are we going to track it? How are we going to monitor it in the workplace? Russell, what do folks need to do before we go to break to participate in our last segment?
Well, you can absolutely give us a call. It's 918-460-KRMG. Or 460-5764, or you can text us at 95920. We're going to take a quick time out. When we come back, where is the state of Oklahoma? Mm-hmm. It became the law of the land on July 26th, so like 4 days ago. Can you go down there and grab your medical marijuana right now? No. And when will you be able to?
When you come back, we'll find out why.
We can speculate. That's what we'll do on Senior Class on News 102.3 KRMG. Welcome back to Senior Class here on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. My name's Russell Mills. Coming up here in about 13 minutes, your top stories in the KRMG 24-hour Fox News Center and your forecast from Fox 23. After that, Living Well with Dr. Booze. Our topic today is medical cannabis.
If we have a lot of callers.
We've got several callers, but that doesn't mean you won't necessarily get in. Give us a call, 918-460-KRMG. That's 460-5764. You can text us at 95920. Been getting a lot of texts in as well. Rusty, you want to go ahead and take some callers?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, why don't we put our first caller on the line? What's your name and what's your comment for us this morning?
Are you there? Thanks for holding through the break. You're live on the air. Oop. All right, we're going to get to our next caller. Sometimes when we have callers come in and they go through the commercial breaks, it makes it very difficult. So I'll tell you this. I know that on the medical side, I think it can make a big impact. The delivery methods are still in question. And Russell, why is it taking so long for us to get some forward progress legislatively here in Oklahoma?
Well, the legislature so far hasn't really been, they haven't taken their turn at bat. Let's put it that way. Senator Irvin Yin tried to run a bill in this last legislative session that would have regulated medical marijuana. It did not get through. And so it was basically up to the state medical board to create the Oklahoma Medical Marijuana Authority.
Okay.
And to promulgate these rules that would govern their emergency rules that would govern it. And that's because the clock's ticking. They had 30 days from when we voted to get those rules in place. They had
It was much cheaper than a full legislative session.
Right. They had 30 days after that to actually implement it. The state is supposed to start taking applications on August 25th. Yeah. And so far, they took a run at the rules, and people were not happy because it did things like ban smokable marijuana.
Yeah, they came back and changed that.
They haven't yet.
Well, it's proposed.
They've been told that they need to change all that.
We have a caller?
They're meeting August 1st. Okay, do you have a caller on the line?
Go ahead. You're live on Senior Class. What are your thoughts on medical marijuana?
I'm for the topical THC products and edibles. Y'all's facts are a little bit wrong.
Yeah, tell us.
I work in the medical field, and there have been medical studies that show that long-term chronic marijuana smoking does cause lung cancer.
Well, I think any carcinogen put into your lungs is going to cause lung cancer over time. So you're saying that you agree with me on that?
Right. Well, you just said that, I just heard you guys say that there has been studies shown that it caused no harmful effects.
Right. Our producer said that she had heard that in the Super Jaime movie, which I'm sure is fiction/nonfiction movie based.
That's totally incorrect.
That study was through a documentary, and what they had said is that through the test of the 30 days, there was no permanent damage, but that there was some damage to his lungs.
There you go. That makes sense.
So smoking is generally speaking, not the healthiest activity in the world.
Okay, so since you're in the industry, I'm going to cut to the chase. There are, what are we going to do? The pharmacists aren't going to touch it because it's illegal and they don't want to get in trouble with the DEA. Now we're having some doctors start to write prescriptions, but a lot of the doctors think it's only going to be those, what we call hydrocodone doctors, those pain guys in
your
trailer writing prescriptions
guys.
For their, to their junkies. Well, how are we going to do this? What do you think?
On a legislation part of it, I'm not sure how they're going to handle it. I think if they just stick to the topicals and the edibles, that will help things a lot. I think a lot of their concerns is smoking it. Like I told your producer, it kind of lumps it all into the same class of tobacco. So now everybody's like, oh crap, well, there's something else that gives everybody cancer.
Exactly.
So that's why we have we in Oklahoma have the highest tobacco rate or tax rate than any other state. I was telling her, I just went on vacation to Tennessee, and I'm not gonna lie, everybody's got their vices. I did. Okay. Mm-hmm. Here in Oklahoma, a can of Copenhagen cost me $5 to change.
Right.
Mississippi, I paid $3.50. So that tells you kind of the...
Exactly. Those are the sin taxes.
Tax rate here in Oklahoma as opposed to other states.
Exactly.
So, if you're going to add something else that's going to cause cancer, that's going to make your Bible-thumping, legislature worry about, oh, crap. There's something else that causes cancer.
Yeah, and that's where the difference,
edibles.
Right? And that's the difference between the edibles and the smokables is, as in the medical profession, you aren't going to have doctors, write a prescription for a delivery method that's more dangerous than the solution of the drug they're administering.
Well, let's
just
clarify one thing: the doctors will not be writing prescriptions. They cannot prescribe cannabis.
They have to fill out a form that it looks like a...
They can recommend it. They can recommend that a patient use marijuana. This is the way this law is written.
Have you seen the form? I saw the form online. It looks like a prescription. They have to have their MPI number, their doctor number, the patient number, and why they're prescribing it, including ICD-10 codes. It's more in-depth than a prescription, actually.
And yet it's not technically... And legally, a prescription.
Because you don't go to a pharmacist to get it done.
Exactly.
You go to some.
Because.
And this is what scares me is that.
From dispensing it.
This is what scares me is that I told you about the four different licenses: the growers, the processors, the delivery shops, where they call the dispensaries, and then delivery. So if you take pharmacists, compounders, the medical profession out of it because it's federal illegal, you're going to have guys like that guy in Breaking Bad in the garage be processors for medical marijuana. I want the FDA involved.
They are going to have to conform to...
And it's rules and regulations, rules the same regulations. Rules and regulations the people in Oklahoma City are screwing up now? I mean, who's to say that it's not going to be some guy in a, Aerostream, you know, processing medical marijuana that's being delivered to your house?
I'm pretty sure that's not going to be the case.
Oh.
There's
so
going
to
be
the meth dealers out there in Oklahoma aren't saying, hey, I'm going to start growing and processing this and selling it to the blah, blah, blah.
Well, if they
want to
do that.
It costs me $2,500 for a license.
If they want to do that, they're going to have to get the license. They're going to have to conform to... whatever rules and regulations are promulgated for the amount of THC that's allowed to be in the plants. They're going to have to prove that their, you know, dispensaries are clean and all that kind of stuff.
We're rolling this out so fast. There are so many questions that are going to go unanswered that are only going to cause our state to stub their toe in law enforcement. In the medical, I mean, this is supposed to be medical marijuana. Where are doctors, here in the state coming for or against this?
They're just all over the map.
They are. And most of the ones that I work with are going to be completely hands off. Same as the pharmaceuticals. That means other people will be in making the rules and regulations for what we're doing. So it's frustrating. I think that medical marijuana is the answer to chronic pain. Versus opioids, and I'm going to do everything that I can for the state of Oklahoma to participate in clinical studies to prove that. But until the federal government lifts restrictions on cannabis, I think we're going to be in a quagmire every state that rolls out medical cannabis.
And you've spoken to folks who work at universities who have studies they would like to do.
Yes, yes, here in the state. And we've already put together and are going to continue to further research and go forward on that research. Because here's the thing is that they're afraid to step forward in any clinical research because it is against federal law. So where do they get most of their money? The universities, from the federal,
government
grants.
Right.
So it's been very, very difficult. So what we're going to try to work on is actually privately funded grants through, believe it or not, large insurance companies, because they would much rather find a substitute to improve quality of life than to continue to pay the pharmaceutical companies billions and billions of dollars each and every year. So who's funding clinical research now in this space? It's going to be those payer sources. That's those large insurance companies that want to see a change in the last 5 years of life. You realize that most of our expenses on healthcare in the United States go to providing care to those folks during their last 5 years of life?
Absolutely.
Because they're the most sick. They're in the hospital the most often.
So I think ultimately, and you spoke about this early, money
drives it all.
Big money drives a lot of these political decisions and fortunately drives our healthcare system. It is a for-profit system. And what is going to happen here is people are going to start to realize that, wow, they need growers, they need dispensaries, they need transportation.
Those sound like jobs to me.
Processing, they need security, they need transportation. This is a massive multi-trillion dollar
I
industry
so.
In this country. And when they get to that point, they're going to go, oh, okay, I get it now. Medical cannabis is going to become the law of the land. It is now in Oklahoma. It's just a question of, can we get it right?
Can we get it right? And that's going to mean intelligent people stepping up to the plate, calling your legislators for an opportunity just to be heard. Russell?
Absolutely. Thank you, Rusty. Thanks for listening,
great show.
Senior class. We are right here live and local every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. Up next, we've got your top stories in the KRMG 24-hour Fox News Center and your forecast from Fox 23 and KRMG. My name is Russell Mills. Enjoyed spending my part of my Sunday with you. We'll see you right here next week.
You
You've been listening to Senior Class Radio with host Rusty McMurray.
Thanks for listening.
Tune in to Senior Class Radio with Rusty McMurray every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. Until next time, have a great week and God bless.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.